The title of this message is Lessons Learned This Week. I learned some things this week. I learned about learning. You can never learn too much about learning, right? I want to go through a few things. I read some books, man. I've been reading and I've been observing. There ain't nothing like watching people, right? So when I'm watching you, I'm watching you. Watch you walk in, watch your conversations, I watch how you interact with people. There's nothing like observing and learning. And I've been learning a lot, just, you know, reading books and listening to ministers on television, and I just wanted to share some of those things with you, some of the wisdom that I've gotten. Some of it you could, you know, you could read for yourself, but I just wanted to share some things with you that I learned. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, learn to do good. Now, what does that mean? A lot of people think when you become a Christian or you get saved that all of a sudden being good just automatically falls into place. Well, we know that not to be true, because we know lots of Christians that will go off at the handle and fly off and just absolutely go crazy on you, right? That are still learning. Still growing. Just because you get saved doesn't all of a sudden mean that angels start fluttering around you all the time and you're always a good person and you're always smiling and, you know, and nothing ever bad ever happens and you're always just fun and yay, you know. It's not like that, is it? Right? Is it just me? But there's nothing like learning. Learners never stay in their present season. How is that possible? Well, when you learn how to do things better. You figure out there's got to be an easier way. Anytime you're looking to move forward in life, you have to learn how to learn. And then the more you learn, the more you start to gradually walk your way out of your current situation. Learners never stay in their present season. They're always progressing. Always. A learner's value is determined by his training. Example, a 10,000 dog compared to a free puppy. Think about that. I know people that pay $10,000 for dogs, you know. They'll pay $40,000 for a horse. You know, can you imagine what Secretariat would be worth nowadays? Yeah. He wasn't $500. He might have been when they first bought him as a colt, you know. I don't know the whole history of him, but your training determines your value. Your value to your boss. Your ability to be a teacher. Preacher, whatever it is God's called you to do, what you train for at your job can eventually promote you to another level within that job because of what? Training. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to walk you through this situation that happened between Elisha and his servants. Verse 1, he says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered and said, Go ahead." So what they're saying to themselves is, hey, you know, it's getting a little crowded here in this building, you know. We need to probably build our own, you know, mother-in-law suite, or father-in-law suite, or whatever, servant suite. It's a little bit crowded here. If you're taking notes, number one, you will choose to grow when you realize the place that you dwell is too small for you. Nobody ever grows or chooses to grow until they realize that. People never grow until they realize that one fact. No one pursues knowledge until they see room for expansion. Think about it. You ever been in a situation or a time in your life, maybe it's your job or whatever, and you felt like, I can do better. I can grow. There's got to be a way that I can progress or be promoted. You will never grow until you see room for improvement. You know, a lot of people, you know, scientifically it's been proven that like we only use like 20% of our brains or 15% or something like that. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we could use all of it? We know lots of people that probably use 1% to 2%. We're like, that guy there is definitely not using that thinker that he was blessed with. You will never grow in life until you see that there is room for expansion. Why do people build new homes or bigger homes? Because they're growing. Verse 3. One of the servants said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, okay, I will go. Number 2. Learners know whose presence matters. I cannot express this enough to you. I cannot say it more than 100 times without saying I need to say it 1,000 times. Learners know whose presence matters. If you don't understand the law of the inner circle, you will never, ever get to a new level in life. You can never move ahead without the help of others. No person on the face of this planet that has ever become a millionaire or a billionaire, who has ever started a company, has ever done it by themselves. You need to know, if there's one thing you need to learn in life, more than anything, is that you need to have a mentor. I cannot say that enough. There's two ways to learn in life. You've heard me say before. There's two ways to learn in life. Mentors and mistakes. And some people are proud of learning through mistakes. I say hogwash, amen? There ain't nothing like learning something and not having to go through the exact same thing that somebody else already went through. Why would you want to submit yourself to that? If you know there's an easier way, you'd be a fool to want to do it the way that you're not supposed to do it. You're going to have mentors in your finances. You're going to have, you know, investment mentors. They call them financial advisors. Those are going to be your mentors. You're going to have mentors at your job. You're going to have people educating you on how to do things better within the job to make yourself a successful, contributable, somebody that actually contributes to the company and doesn't become a hindrance to the company and someone that's just there for a check. Mentors will teach you how not to do it. Learners know whose presence matters. He said, sir, Elisha, can you please come with us? Did it say, hey, Elisha, can you come down there and help us, you know, chop down some trees? I don't see anywhere in there where Elisha was chopping down trees. Elisha was probably over sitting in the shade watching them chop down the trees. Like, hey, you guys want to do this, not me. I didn't want to do this. Y'all wanted to do this. Verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. In other words, he's going along. You know, you've probably done this with them old axes and them old hammers, those old slant hammers. And you know, if you've ever used a hammer. A lot of people don't know what those are anymore. Nobody uses them hardly anymore. You know, you're going along, you're doing this, and all of a sudden the axe handle flies off, and you're like ducking like, oh God, is it going to hit me? And he's going along and swinging and trying to chop down this tree right here, and all of a sudden the axe handle goes poof right off into the Nile River, or wherever they were. The Jordan River. I think it was the Jordan River. He goes, oh my God, that's going to cost me like 2 days' wages to buy another one. And he said, "Alas, master." He knew who to call. If you're taking notes, number three, learners know which tools matter. There are tools in your life that you are going to use. You're going to need to find out which ones are the most important, and you're going to have to discern which ones are not. Learners know which tools matter. God gave us a Bible. Is that a tool? Absolutely. It's a very long to read tool. It takes a long time. It took me like a year to read the whole thing through. Some people can read it through in 30 days. There are ministers that have read it through like hundreds of times. My hat is off to you. That takes a lot of committed time. You need to know which tools matter in your life. And you need to get rid... If there's anything... If number two, if I was telling you anything else in life, another thing that's very important in your life is you have got to learn how to filter. You have got to be a walking filter of what is important and what is not. Learn how to learn. Learn to know what is important and what is not. What is going to prosper you? What is not? What is going to get you promoted? What is not? Does gossip get you promoted? Absolutely not. Does building up others in the workplace get you promoted? Absolutely. If one of those people that you've been talking nice about and building them up every morning, one of those days, they might be your boss. Guess who they're going to promote first? The guy that makes the whole atmosphere be a pleasing one. You don't want to be the type of person when you walk into a room, they go, "Oh God, here he comes." You don't want to be the type of person that people get excited when you actually exit the room. You want to be the type of person that's like, "Ah, oh, there he is." You ever notice how people's countenance change? Now, if you're a nice person, I don't know, maybe some of y'all don't know this, I don't know. But if you're a nice person, when you walk into a room, people are usually like, "Hey." You know why? Because it's just a habit. If you're the type that's always walking in the room and building people up and smiling or making a funny joke or doing something funny, the first thing they do when you walk in the room is, you know why? Because people see you before they ever hear you. They always see you before they hear you. Learn how to filter out things in life that make sense and things that are going to promote you and the things that are not. Verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" In other words, he said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now that, my friends, is what I call a miracle. To make an iron axe head float is something only God could pull off. Can you imagine being someone like Elisha, like, "Well, where'd it fall in the water? Okay, hold on just a second. Let me go get a stick." Goes and gets a stick, chops it down off, and pulls it off the tree, throws it in the water, knowing by faith that when he cast that stick in the water, that axe head was going to float. My friends, that takes faith. Number four, learners recognize there is a problem. Masters know how to solve those problems. That's why I tell you that mentors are very, very important. Learners recognize that there is a problem. Let me tell you something. Now, if you're not a learner, you're not going to recognize there's a problem. If you're not the type that is knowing how to hear from God, God is always talking to you, always. Whether it's through people or whether it's through your conscience. A lot of people say, "Well, God never talks to me." Do you have wisdom? Do you have godly wisdom? Then God's talking to you. He's already talked to you. He's already explained this to you. A lot of times he's not going to come back and explain it again. He's going to explain it one time. He's going to be like, don't ever forget this. A learner knows and recognizes when there's a problem. Learners are smart people. I tell my kids every day they go off school, what do I tell them? Be smart. Make good decisions. Don't be one of those goofballs that's always following the crowd, because just because you didn't mess up, maybe somebody else messed up. If you're on their coattails, guess what? You were involved too. And guess who gets in trouble? You do. Whether you did it or not, you're always going to be called guilt by association. You are a contributor to stupidity. Amen? We don't want to contribute to those things. Learners know and recognize when there's a problem. Masters know how to solve those problems. I learn much observing non-learners. Think about that. You can learn a whole lot from observing people who choose not to learn. What can you learn from them? You can learn how not to do it. Number one, you can watch them make mistakes and watch what they reap when they actually do make those mistakes. You can learn a whole lot from observing people that refuse to learn. They are usually fools. Learning is not a place of arrival, but a place of beginning. You don't learn because you've arrived. You learn because you choose to begin a new adventure. Learning causes change. Learning creates miracles. Learning can be creative. There ain't nothing like inventing something and then selling it to a company for millions of dollars, all because you were just choosing to learn and God, you know, explained something to you. That's what in the Bible says, you know, God's the provider of witty inventions. Somebody had to create the wheel. Somebody got tired of walking one day. So there's got to be a way we can make this easier. Learning only matters if it improves you. What good is learning if it's not going to make you better? It only matters if it changes you for the better. If it's not, let me ask you this. When you're learning, you need to ask yourself this. Is this going to make me better? Am I going to be able to share this with somebody to make them better? If you're learning something, or if you're listening to something, or somebody's talking to you about something, if you don't have your filter on, you're going to be hearing and learning things that are not going to make you better. Listen to this one. Passion to fly doesn't make you a pilot. Just wanting to do something doesn't make you great at it. Next point. Learners are doers. Learners are doers. Learners don't just read about it and never apply it. People, you know, when people ask about our church, you know, what church you go to, you know, and when they, I was talking to a lady on at Verizon last night, and I just got so blessed by talking to her. She goes, man, I know you're in Texas, and I'm just so sorry about what happened, you know, yesterday in Texas over there in Midland and Odessa. And she goes, you know, I'm from Chicago. And I'm like, really? You think we got it bad? You're in Chicago? Gang violence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People dying every day, 20 to 30 people dying all the time. People shooting each other all the time. By the time I was done talking to her, she said, you know what? I'm just fine up here in Chicago. I live in a nice neighborhood. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm like, wow, they actually let you say that at Verizon? I'm like, hello, I'll preach that tomorrow. People ask me, you know, what church do you go to? well, I'm with the Cowboy Church. Oh, you know, I've heard about those. You know, they're like Baptists or something. I'm like, no. Well, you're not Baptist. I'll tell you what we are. We're Baptist. We're Pentecostals. We're all them other denominations. Catholics. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. We're not Mormons. We preach the Bible. And that's it. Learning requires doing. And I always tell those people that ask me about what church you go to. Every time they ask me, I'm like, you know, and they ask me about, you know, preaching and so on and so forth. And I always tell them, you know, we're not associated with a religion. We don't preach a religion. We preach the Bible. What we preach, I tell them, what we preach should be life applicable. I'm not going to stand up here and give you a history lesson. You can go read that for yourself. I don't need to give you a history lesson of, you know, how this happened or what this happened or who the man was that did this or did that. If what I'm saying cannot be applied to your life, then it comes out, it's absolute nonsense. Passion to fly does not make you a pilot. You have to be passionate about actually applying and doing what it is that you've learned. You must learn that you have to learn. You can't just want to do it. Learning requires more than one step. Listen to this one. Those who cannot learn argue. And first thing I thought of when I read that was kids. Little bitty, mature, immature kids that aren't fully matured in the Lord yet, you know, sometimes they just want to argue because what? Because why? Why do kids argue? Because they want to satisfy their flesh. Why can't I have a candy bar? Why can't I have a donut? Why can't we go to Starbucks? Why can't I get on the iPad? Son, let me explain something to you. That is not your iPad. That is my iPad. And I let you use the iPad. And I pay for that iPad monthly. And I pay for those phones monthly. Those are mine. I own them. But son, you've been on them too long. It's time to get off of them and go do something. There are dishes in the sink. Ah! A person that argues is not in a mindset to learn. All they know is what they want to know. And all they care to tell you is what they know. And what they are basically telling you is they don't want to learn or listen to what it is that you're telling them. Anytime a kid argues with you, they are wanting to satisfy their flesh. Okay? It's that simple. It's not rocket science. It's that simple. Those who are not willing to learn. Now, it doesn't mean your kids are idiots and don't ever learn anything. It just means maybe at that moment they are choosing not to learn. Here's a good one. What have you learned from those who have failed you? What have you changed because of the pain? Who's hurt you? Why did they hurt you? Have you released them and forgiven them for hurting you? What did you learn from it? What have you changed because of it? Nobody ever changes anything until there's pain. Never. If there's not pain, there's no change. You never experience pain, you will never, ever change anything. Until it becomes so painful that you can't stand it anymore, you will never change it. Verse 7. This is after, you know, Elisha throws the stick in the water. He says, "Therefore said he, take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Do you know how much that applies to your finances? If you struggle with money, and a man of God, and I'm not saying I'm not saying just because I stand up here and talk about tithes and offerings that it all of a sudden is true. It's not true because I said it, it's true because God wrote it. It's not true because I say it. Nothing is ever true because someone says it. It's only true if God said it. He says, "Stick out your hand and take it." I'm pretty sure when he saw the axe float, he goes, "Wow." And Elisha says, "Well, it's there. That's really the axe. It's not, you know, an illusion of the axe. That's actually the axe head. Stick out your hand and take it." What does that say about that servant? He had to be a receiver. He had to believe the prophet when Elisha said, "Stick out your hand and take it." Anything that God wants to give you, you have to stick out your hand and take it. And if you don't stick out your hand, you ain't gonna receive it. You're not gonna possess it. You have to own it. The servant could have easily said, "Oh well, my axe fell in the water. I guess I'll just tell the guy that I borrowed it from that it fell in the water. I'm sorry. I don't have any money to buy another one from you." If you're taking notes, learners are smart enough to obey an instruction. Learners know that when the stick hits the water, miracles happen. You don't need to be focused. I wrote this down yesterday. It's so good. You need to not be focused on, you know, when you know what hits the fan. You should be focused on when the stick hits the water. Because when the stick hits the water, man, that's a good book title. When the stick hits the water, that's when miracles happen. When Moses was standing there complaining, and God was like, "What are you complaining about? Stick out what you have already in your possession." He said, "You already possess all that you need. A little old stick." He's standing there in front of the whole sea, looking out, thinking, "My Lord, that's a large body of water. We're not going to be able to swim across this." You got the enemy over there. God's holding them off with a pillar of fire. And they're all complaining, "God, what do we do? You brought us out of Egypt to die." He's like, "No, I didn't bring you out of Egypt to die. I brought you out of Egypt so I could perform miracles and show you that I am who I say that I am. Now stick out the stick and touch the water." When Moses touched the water, water just started just going on this side and going on that side. You know, hundreds of feet of water just on this side and on that side. You know, I can just see them walking through there looking at the sharks, looking at the whales and the sea lions. Like, "Oh, those are really cool." You know, while they are headed to the promised land, all because the stick hit the water. Learners have to focus on what really matters. If it don't matter, don't meditate on it. Don't major on the minors. The minors exist. I'm not going to deny that problems happen. But what I'm telling you is, do not major on them. Do not focus on them. Because the more you focus on them, the less you lose focus of what really matters. And what really matters, the major thing, is what gets you out of the minor things. The minor things do not get you out of the major problems. Major things get you out of minor problems. And that's all that problems should ever be, is minor. If they ever turn into a major problem, now you have to dig deeper and magnify the things that really matter. Praying in your, you know, your space or wherever, going to the closet, meditating, asking other people to pray for you because you're in a situation now that's major instead of minor. Problems should never go past minor. Never. Learners are smart enough to obey an instruction. When the man of God says, stick out your hand, it's going to happen. Reach down there. It's right there. Just grab it. It's there. And finally, I learned something listening this week to Mac Hammond on the Kenneth Cole, on Believer's Voice of Victory Network. He was talking about how they had done research on the speed of light. We need to learn at the speed of light. That's what I came up with when I was listening to him talk about, because he was talking about how if you were to travel at the speed of light for 30 days, that would be equivalent to 30,000 years on the earth. Now, we always see this kind of stuff in movies and how they magnify things, you know, where, you know, they always, you know, send people, you know, Star Wars. You know, Star Wars was way ahead of its time, man. Way ahead. If we were to go, they've actually proven that if you go, you know, at faster speeds than, you know, what we go here on earth, like if you're in space and you're going faster speeds, they actually can prove that your body ages slower. Now, it only ages like 0.00007%. But it has actually proven that you age slower. This scientifically. I haven't researched it enough. I was wanting to major on that today, but I didn't research it enough, so I'm just giving you a little nugget of it, okay? And what I got from when Max started, now when you think about that, now if we go 30 days at the speed of light, it's the same as going 30,000 years on earth. You know what that applies to? A day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. 30 years, 30,000 years. Somewhere in that little piece of information, there's got to be some revelation. So what I got from that is that we have to learn at the speed of light. And when you learn at the speed of light, you learn how to take care of your temple better. You learn how to eat better. You learn things like, you know, how to exercise and make your body healthier and all this stuff. Why? Because you learned it. If we wouldn't have known that, you know, eating junk food was bad for us, we would just keep eating. We wouldn't even know a difference between being healthy and not healthy. But that, since we do know, we have to apply it. The more we learn, the better we take care of our temple. Bible says, learn to do good in Isaiah. Learn at the speed of light. The other day I was at the Home and Garden Show, and it was the funniest thing. Funny. This guy walks by with a shirt on, okay? You know how people like to express themselves, you know, bumper stickers, all that. He had on a shirt, and this is what it was. This side of the shirt, from here to here, you know how some people believe in evolution, you know, you've seen those shirts where it shows us starting out as a tadpole, and we gradually go up to maybe a monkey, and then we gradually grow into a Neanderthal, and then we gradually go into a human. And then on his shirt, it was actually showing that progression. And at the end, about midway was the human, and then after the human going over here towards this side was humans walking upright, humans gradually slumping over, gradually setting down, and then eventually it showed a guy on a computer. Now, what was unique about this is the guy wearing the shirt was actually looking at his phone while he was walking. So I thought to myself, this guy either enjoys being wrong. Okay, so for the top of his shirt, it said somewhere we went wrong. I said, we absolutely did, sir. Absolutely. Computers aren't bad, but what makes it so darn funny is that you're wearing that shirt while walking and looking at your computer. So something inside of me said, either this guy enjoys being wrong, or he is screaming for help. He is screaming for help. He has the shirt, something went wrong, and he's walking around doing this. You know how when you're walking and doing this, you don't always walk a straight line, you know. And he's walking, there's people all around him, he's trying to dodge them and, you know, and walk. And I just thought that was so ironic. So I didn't know if he enjoyed being wrong, or maybe his wife dressed him that morning. I don't know. He doesn't know what he's wearing. He's like, honey, what do you want me to wear today? Wear that black shirt with that something went wrong stuff on it. So when I saw that, I thought it was kind of ironic, you know, that that applies to learning. And how interesting it is that people know stuff, but they don't actually apply it. Am I saying he's a hypocrite and he's an idiot? No, I'm not saying that at all. I just thought it was funny that he was wearing the shirt and actually doing what was on the shirt. And it said something went wrong. Somewhere we went wrong. We started out as tadpoles, he thinks. You know, of course we didn't. But, you know, he thinks we started as tadpoles and eventually ended up sitting down at a computer and staring at a computer all day. If you don't apply, if that man would apply what he actually has on his shirt, you know, I'm just using this as an analogy. When you learn how to learn and you learn how to change, because I'm telling you, when you become a Christian, you don't stay the same. You're not like you used to be. You have to apply what it is that you're learning now. And you are going to be held accountable for it. Not by me, but by God. You are accountable for what you know. We have to learn how to learn. We have to apply what it is that you hear on TV from other ministers, not just from me or from Pastor Corey or from Ricky or whoever's here ministering. Don't do it because we said to do it. Don't do it. Don't apply this stuff just because the preacher said this is what you're supposed to do. I haven't got it all figured out either. But I'm darn sure working towards it. And the last thing that I want to do is look like a fool. That's sometimes the biggest fear in people's lives is looking like a fool. Why? Because it shows that you are ignorant somewhere. You are lacking in knowledge somewhere. That's why you looked like a fool, you know, yesterday or last week or a month ago or whatever. That's why you made a bad decision. Because you didn't have a piece of information. I'm telling you, every time people fail, every time there is failure in your life, there are missing pieces. There are things that you don't know. There are things that you haven't learned yet, that you haven't extracted. The first question you should be asking yourself is, who actually has the information that can keep me from making that same mistake? Who can I consult? Who can mentor me so that I never make that mistake ever again? That's the first question you should ask. It shouldn't be, you know, the first question you ask yourself shouldn't be, well, I hope they don't. I wonder if they still like me. Does it matter? I wonder if they think any less of me. I wonder if I'm not going to get promoted. I wonder if they don't like me anymore. I wonder if I upset them. Let me tell you something. It don't matter. It's not going to matter, and it ain't going to matter in the future. The best thing you can do is get smarter and fix the problem so that it don't happen twice. Bible says, learn to do good. You are not going to learn good, how to do good, if you don't know what good looks like. If you don't know righteousness, if you don't know the difference between unrighteousness and righteousness, you're going to keep walking somewhere in between, in the middle. You're going to keep riding the fence, or you're going to be on one side or the other. You're going to be righteous in some areas, you're going to be unrighteous in others. The Bible says the perfect man will walk in righteousness. The Bible says perfect love, not love, but perfected love, cast out all fear. If you're tired of being afraid all the time, you're tired of walking in fear, there's a spirit of fear on you. I'm telling you right now, somewhere in your past, a spirit of fear came on you so strong. Whether it was watching some devil show, some scary show, or, you know, you saw something on YouTube where somebody saw a ghost and they filmed it, that spirit of fear comes on you. But the Bible says perfected love cast out all fear. You want to learn how to do good? Learn how to walk in perfected love. And that means loving every person on this planet, whether they like you or not, or whether you like them or not. Amen? Giddy up. Let's ride that horse. Woo! Let's go. You can ride that pony all the way to heaven. Casting out all fear, forgiving those who have wronged you, and vice versa. learn to do good. My friends, that is the whole purpose of your life as a Christian, is learning how to love others. I've said this for the past month, and I believe that God is trying to tell us something here. We got to learn how to love one another, especially the ones that are in our family that we're going to be in heaven with. Amen? And I told that lady from Verizon yesterday, I was like, you know, I know you're a total stranger, I said, but if I never talk to you again, I'll see you in heaven. It's true. Got to learn how to love one another. Bitterness and unforgiveness don't fly. Not with God. And that's one thing God does not compromise on. He does not compromise on unforgiveness and lack of love in some area. We got to learn how to love one another. We're all on the same team. Hello. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If today, if you walked in here today and you didn't know who Jesus Christ was, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to receive Him. I want you to know that God loves you, He cares about you, and He wants you to be successful. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus so much that when Jesus went to the cross, He made sure that Jesus had the authority to raise Himself from the dead. Why? Because Jesus loved humanity so much that He was willing to give up His life for all of mankind. I want you to know today that God loves you and cares about you. I want you to know that if you're not saved today, that God wants you to be saved. He's calling you right now. He's calling on your heart, pulling on your heartstrings, and I want you to get serious with God right now if you're not saved. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, I want you to receive Him today. There is no time like the right now to do it. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And we're all going to pray it with you. And I believe that if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, I believe that when you leave this earth that you will go to heaven. So pray this prayer and mean what you say. Get serious with God right now and believe these words. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You didn't know Jesus when you came in here, but you received Him just now. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, not going to embarrass you, but I just want you to acknowledge to me that that was you. Let me know that you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said. And by raising, and all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand. That's all I'm asking you to do. On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Yes. All right. Look at me. All right. All you Jesus freaks. Take what you learned and apply it, for crying out loud. Amen. Not because I said it, but because God wrote it. Let's read our Bibles. If you've never read the Bible all the way through, I encourage you today to just start today and just do it. Just learn it. Just read it. Just read it and learn it. I mean, you're not going to retain everything that's in there, but at least it'll be in your spirit, man. At least it'll be in there. I don't care if you understand what they're talking about in the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy or Leviticus, or in, you know, what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and, you know, and all that stuff. God doesn't expect you to know all of it, but He darn sure expects you to apply it and at least give it an effort. Amen? Come on, Ricky.
this morning. Man, what a message. Learn to be a learner. And that's something that, you know, and I'll speak for myself, as I get older, I'm learning to learn more. I strive to learn more. And sometimes we can't be afraid to ask younger folks, hey, I don't understand that. Like, you know, don't be afraid to ask somebody to teach you something because they can. Awesome message. Give him one more round of applause this morning. We got a couple of announcements real quick. I don't know, those of you who are familiar with Liberty Hill, the Over the Hill gang that they have, the building, when you go right before you get to Parker's, there's a building there called the Over the Hill gang. The Grace Alive Church has been feeding. They feed every Thursday, every month. Grace Alive's been doing this for a long time, and they're getting a little bit over, well, probably not just a little bit. The message was relayed to me that they're overwhelmed a lot. And so they're asking for some help. They would like for somebody to take over the third and fourth Thursdays in the months. That means that we need three people, right? And three people, if you're interested, you can talk to Heidi after the church service about it, but that you would cook and serve from like 8 to 11:30, and then if you choose to stay after in fellowship, if you've never been up there, it's pretty cool, but I guess you have to be over the hill to go there. I went there, and I'm not over the hill, but we went and entertained there one day. So it's really cool to see all the folks that are meet. You meet a lot of law enforcement people come by and eat. It's a really neat deal. But Grace Alive is needing some help. So Heidi asked me to make an announcement that if there's some people that are willing to pick up that torch on the third and fourth Thursdays, get with her. She'll fill you in on what it is that we will go and buy the food, and then you prepare it on those third and fourth Thursdays. And once you're locked in, you're locked in. I mean, you know, we can't make you do it, but you'll be doing it the third Thursday of every month. And if somebody's doing it the third or the fourth Thursday of every month. So see, Heidi, it would be a blessing to a lot of people. So if that's something that God's putting on your heart to go help with, don't be afraid to learn how to serve people in another area that you're not serving in. Amen. Also, one more quick announcement. Don't forget about the financial peace class. If you would like to find out more information about it, it starts a week from today, a week from this Sunday, right, Denise? Wherever she's, there she is. Yeah, right. So if you need more information about the financial peace class that we're starting, it is open to the public. If you would like to bring friends, if you see some friends that are needing financial help, don't be afraid to invite them to come with you. Or just tell them about it. I mean, if you're okay, your finances are great, and you don't need to learn anymore, and that's what we just learned about today is learning more, is tell your friends about it, that they're welcome here, that they can come and learn. Amen? Right now, most of you know, but Howdy does not get paid to preach. He's like me. We do it, and we just rely in faith that God supplies all of our needs according to the riches and glory. So today, if God puts it on your heart to give to Howdy, this bucket is right here. You can make the check out to Howdy Buyer Ministries right here in this bucket. So if God puts it on your heart, man, He blesses us so often. So really and truly, if God does put it on your heart, bless Him right here in this bucket. Do we have any more? Since it's Labor Day tomorrow, we will not have a Bible study Tuesday this week. We'll be back on the following week. And we're going to be doing a little three series deal, and we've ordered some little books, and Laurie and I are going to teach together for 2 or 3 weeks on it. So be sure and ask Laurie about it. If you'd like to know more about it, just see her after church. I'm dead for that one, though. The Holy Spirit led me to say that. That wasn't for me. Wow. Oh, okay. The 21st of September will be pot blessing. So we'll be talking about that more as we get here. That's correct. So be sure and start planning on what dishes you're going to bring, not just one. We prefer two, you know, three, you know, if, but no, I'm kidding. But y'all start thinking about the pot blessing for September the 21st. If that's all, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you never quit teaching us, Father, that if we open our hearts and our minds, that you teach us. The Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're our teacher, that you are here to guide us, lead us, direct us. We just thank you for that. Right now, we just lift up those folks in Odessa, Father, that we comfort them, Father. We pray for strength and blessings and just mercy and grace, Father. We know that that's from the devil. And Father, we know that we are protected by you. We pray for those folks. Father, we send our love to them. Just lift them up. Father, we thank you that when we leave here, that we know that we have you, that we can call on you, that we can plead the blood of Jesus over us, and we are protected. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We pray blessings over everyone as they go out this week, that they are blessed and highly favored. In the name of Jesus, amen. With a big round of applause, y'all are dismissed.